Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This kitab is, as I mentioned, this is Anwarus Salah. And we all perform Salah, alhamdulillah, and perhaps every Muslim in the world performs Salah. But one is just the outward movements of Salah. A person comes and he just performs Salah. And one is the ruh of Salah. One is the spirit of Salah, where a person will enjoy his Salah, he will get the maximum benefit of Salah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the coolness of my eyes lies in Salah. So what's the difference? For Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, it was the coolness of his eyes. And for us, it is difficult. Allah Ta'ala forgive us, it's difficult for us to perform Salah. Why? Why the difference? Because imagine what was the Salah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What was the rule, what was the life in the Salah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And what is our Salah? So through this kitab, inshallah, by studying this kitab, Anwarus Salah, we should get an idea of what is a real namaz, what is a true salah. And by implementing what Hazrat has written here, we will then start enjoying our namaz to some extent. Even if we don't get 100%, we can keep trying and we will have to keep trying right till the end of our life to get a perfect salah. Even that in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is very great. So one of the greatest ibadat in our deen is salah. Not only is salah a fundamental of deen, but the life of a Muslim, it rotates around salah. Person is at home. So at home he has to go to work. A person, even if he's at home, he's doing whatever he has to do in the home. He has his lunch, he has his supper, he has some work in the house that he does. But all the time he's conscious that I have to go. Just now it's going to be Zuhar time. Just now it's going to be Asar Azan. Just now it's going to be Maghrib Azan. So our life rotates around salah. Whole day we worry, just now it's going to be Namaz time. What time is going to be Azan? I have to go to the masjid. So at home also we worried about salah. When a person, he undertakes a journey, he makes safar. So when he makes safar also, he plans. He says, you know what, at certain time, I'm going to be at this place. And at this place, I'll stop, I'll make my Zohar Salah here. Certain time, I'll be at another place. That's where I'll make my Asar Salah. And inshallah, by Maghrib, I'll reach my destination. So see, when we're making safar, they also be planning, where am I going to read Zohar Salah? Where am I going to read my Asar Salah? If I'm on a plane, then what time do I read my Zohar Salah? What time do I read my Asar Salah? So even in safar, when a person is undertaking a journey, he is worried, he is concerned about his salah. A person, he goes to the airport. First thing, after a person has checked in, he finds out, where's the musalla? He wants to make his salah. So they also be concerned about salah. Wherever a person is, salah is the primary concern of a person. Man goes to work. At work also, if he cannot get to the masjid, then there at work, they will have a musalla for him. That year you can perform your salah in the musalla. When a person, he goes on holiday, what do we do? First thing we say, hey, when we're going on holiday, that is a Western resort. So they're not going to have jugs, they're not going to have the lota for istinja, etc. So all that we take, why? Because I have to perform my salah. In order to perform my salah, I have to be parked. So we worry, we have to take a jug, we have to take a lota, we have to be parked, we have to perform salah. So in other words, the life of a Muslim, it rotates around salah. Our Hazrat explained that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went for Mi'raj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed him with 50 salah. Initially, the hukam of salah was 50 salah. The gift that was given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 50. And then Nabi alayhi wa sallam came down and he met Musa alayhi wa sallam. And Musa alayhi wa sallam said, what gift Allah ta'ala gave you? He said, no, 50 namaz. Oh, you can't. Go back to Allah ta'ala. And tell Allah ta'ala now to decrease that. So he went back. And then Allah ta'ala decreased and decreased and decreased until it came to 5 salah. Now if we have to calculate, if a person had to read 50 namaz a day, 50 salah a day, if we have to calculate it, then for every salah, when we come into the masjid, what do? First a person, he will go to the bathroom, he will relieve himself. Then he comes out, then he makes his wudu. Then after wudu, he comes into the masjid, maybe it's Zuhr time, he has to read the sunnah salah. Then after that is the faraz salah. After the faraz, again there is sunnah, there is nafil that a person has to read. So how much of time a person requires for his salah? Approximately 20 minutes to 30 minutes for every salah. Now if we have to multiply that by 50 times, 25 hours of the day is gone. In other words, approximately we're saying, approximately your whole day would have been salah. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it easy for this ummah, that made it 5 salah. But although it is 5 salah, the reward that we will get, that will be the reward of 50 salah. مَا يُبَدَّلُ الْقَوْلُ لَدَيَّ وَمَا أَنَا بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ That initially it was 50. So the reward also Allah Ta'ala will give 50. Now all the ahkams and all the laws of Shariat, Allah Ta'ala had sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam down to the earth. Zakat, Jibreel alayhi salam came down with the command. Fasting, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down. Hajj, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came down with the laws of Hajj. But when it came to Salah, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam didn't come down with the laws of Salah. He didn't come down with the hukam of Salah, with the command of Salah, that Salah is farad on your ummat. When it came to Salah, Allah Ta'ala told Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam that now you come to visit me. Now you come to visit me. And in a portion of the night, Allah Ta'ala took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam from Makkatul Mukarramah to Baytul Muqaddas, and from Baytul Muqaddas to the seven heavens, which Allah Ta'ala says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. That pure is that being that made his servant travel. In a portion, laylan, just a portion of the night, not even the whole night. The tanween, laylan, tanween is used here. The taqleel, to show a little bit. Just for a little portion of the night, in a little portion of the night, Allah Ta'ala took Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Makkah Sharif to Baytul Muqaddas. And from there, min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa, alladhi barakna hawla. And this area of Baytul Muqaddas, Allah Ta'ala says, we put a lot of barakah in this area. The waterfalls that are over here, the rivers that are running here, the fruit that are here, lot of barakah. Even up to now, although there's so much of oppression and there's so much of restriction upon the Palestinian people, but Allah Ta'ala has given them a lot of barakah in whatever they farm, whatever they have, even in their backyards, Allah Ta'ala has given a lot of barakah. They say if you take just one strawberry, they say sometimes it is the size of your palm. That's how much of barakah Allah Ta'ala has given them. A lot of barakah in whatever they plant, Allah Ta'ala has given. So this area Allah Ta'ala says, Alladhi barakna hawla. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so that we will show Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam our ayat and our signs. And from there, Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was taken up to the seven heavens. And then in a portion of the night, he was given his salah, the gift of salah, and brought back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So the kuffar of Makkah, they said, can never be. This can never be true. You say that in a portion of the night, you travel from Makkah Sharif, you went to Baytul Muqaddas, and from there you went to meet Allah Ta'ala. And then you came back to Makkah al-Mukarramah, and here you are back for Fajr Salah in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Just in a portion of the night, it can't be true. So they said, let's go to his friend. Let's go to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. So they went to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And they say, that is it possible that a man travels in a portion of the night from here to Baytul Muqaddas, whereas in those days, they used to travel on animals, in caravan. And it would take 1 month to travel from Makkah Sharif to Baytul Muqaddas. So they said, is it possible? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, not possible. He said, but your friend says that he does this. He claims that last night he went from here to Baytul Muqaddas and then he met Allah Ta'ala and he came back. So then he said, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this, then it is 100% true. Because there are things that are much more far-fetched than salah, than what you are talking about, that I have observed. Wahi comes down from Allah Ta'ala to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on this occasion, he was given the title of Siddiq, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He was that person, he had a lot of love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that when he met Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the first time they met in Makkah Mukarramah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, they didn't know each other. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 2 years elder than Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. He was 18 years old. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was 16 years old when the two of them met in Makkah al-Mukarramah. But the moment the two of them met, it is mentioned that they just clicked, they became friends, just love for each other. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had not accepted Islam at that time. But they just clicked, they loved each other. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala loved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he was a businessman. So he traveled one day, he went to Sham. So when he went to Sham, he saw a dream. So when he saw a dream, he at that time was still the Christian priest, because it was before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the time of Isa alayhi salam, until the Nubuwwat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Rahib, the Christian priests were there. So he went to one of the Christian priests and he said that, see, I had a dream and this is the dream that I had. So what's the meaning, what's the interpretation of this dream? So the Christian priest told him that if what you are saying is true, first he said, صَدَّقَ اللَّهُ رُؤْيَاكَ صَدَّقَ اللَّهُ رُؤْيَاكَ, may Allah Ta'ala make your dream a reality. فَإِنَّهُ يُبْعَثُ نَبِيٌّ مِّن قَوْمِكَ, that a Nabi is going to be sent from your nation, from the Quraysh, from the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, a Nabi is going to appear. فَإِنَّهُ يُبْعَثُ نَبِيٌّ مِّن قَوْمِكَ, تكون وزيره في حياته وخليفته بعد وفاته. You are going to be, the meaning of your dream is, you are going to be وزيره في حياته, his minister in his lifetime. And throughout the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was the minister? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And you will become his khalifa after his death. The first khalifa after the demise of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. وَتَكُونُ وَزِيرَهُ فِي حَيَاتِهِ وَخَلِيفَتَهُ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِهِ. It is mentioned, فَأَسَرَّهَا أَبُو بَكْرٍ مِنَ الْكَائِنَاتِ كُلِّهَا. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu kept it a secret. He never told anyone that this is the dream that I had. He kept it a secret from everyone. It is mentioned later on, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the age of 40, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was 38 years old, and now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in the cave of Hira, and the first verses of the Quran are revealed, اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. These verses were so great that they abrogated the Torah. Now the Torah is cancelled. Now it's the Quran Sharif. Now the Zabur has been cancelled. It is the Quran Sharif. The Injil has been cancelled. It is now the Quran Sharif. All the previous scriptures were cancelled just on the verses of Iqra. So when he came and he said that I am the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, so Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the proof? Mad dalilu ala ma tadda'i. What is the proof for the claim that you make? You say you're a Nabi of Allah. Bring your proof. So what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala? He says, Ru'ya allati ra'ita bisham. My proof is the dream that you saw in Sham. That is my proof that I am the Nabi of Allah. Nobody knew about it. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala kept it a secret. This is a sign that he was a Nabi of Allah ta'ala. This was a miracle. He said, that dream that you saw in Sham, that is the proof that I am a Nabi of Allah ta'ala. It is mentioned Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, fa'anaqahu. He embraced Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He embraced him. وَقَبَّلَهُ بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ. And he kissed him between his eyes. And then he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. That I bear witness that you are the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So much of love Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they made hijrat, when they were going now from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwara, and the kuffar, they were in search of Nabi alayhi salam. They offered 100 camels. Anyone can capture Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring him 100 camels. All the kuffar of Makkah were in search of him. Everyone wanted the prize. They wanted the 100 camels. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes hijrat at night. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala comes and fetches him from the house. And the kuffar have surrounded the house. Allah ta'ala blinded them. And then they leave. They go into the cave of Thawr. So when they come to the cave of Thawr, it is mentioned in the morning, it was hot. The Arabian Peninsula is very hot. Was extremely hot. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you sit here. You know, in a shady place, he told him, you sit down. He saw one person, he was grazing his goats. So he went by that person. Asked him, whose goats are this? So he said, no, certain person's goats. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala knew that person. So he said, can I take out some milk from here? So he said, yes, you can take and you can drink. So he took out some milk. But when you milk the animal, the milk is hot. If you milk the camel, the milk that comes out, it is hot. It's not cold at that time. So it was hot. And it was a hot day. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he cooled the milk down. After cooling it down, then he took it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, drink. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank. After he drank, he took the milk and he said, Abu Bakr, now you drink. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he said, no, ya Rasulullah, you drink. You drink till you are full, till your heart content. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, فَشَرِبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَتَّى رَدِيتُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank until I was happy. Normally, we drink till we happy. What Abu Bakr said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank until I was happy that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has drunk enough. That is how much Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was happy. Now he goes into the cave. He had two pieces of cloth. They're making hijrah. They hardly got anything. The kuffar are in search of them. He's got two pieces of cloth. When he goes in and he comes out of the cave, he comes out with one piece of cloth. Where's the other piece of cloth, Abu Bakr? What he did, in that cave, there were holes all over. So from those holes, some scorpion, some snake can come out. And that's going to either injure him or Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he's not worried about himself. His concern was Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what he did, he tore his clothing. He took his own clothing and he tore it. And he began filling up all those holes so nothing comes out from there. But one hole, he didn't have enough cloth. So one hole remained open. So he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he cleaned the cave. All the holes were closed. He said, come in now. And then he sat down. He put Nabi Alayhi Salaam on his lap. His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's head is on the lap of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And that hole that was open, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala put his foot in there. That if anything has to come out, I'll be the one that will be harmed, not Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It so happened from that very same hole, one snake or one scorpion came out. And that scorpion, that snake, bit Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Now Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala doesn't want to disturb the sleep of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so he starts crying. So the tears are flowing. And those tears now fell on the Mubarak face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When it fell on his face, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam woke up. Abu Bakr, what's wrong? He said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what has happened. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his Mubarak saliva and he put it in the area where Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was bitten. That poison all that must have run, must have gone through the body of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Just by the Mubarak saliva of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, everything was sorted out. Everything was now cured. Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi has written that this snake that was there, this was actually a human being from the time of Isa alayhi salam. He wanted to see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But obviously he was an ummati in the time of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, so he couldn't see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So he made dua to Allah ta'ala that Allah transform me. Even if it means transforming, may transform me, but I want to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he was transformed into this snake or scorpion or whatever it might have been. And he was informed that this is the place Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to stop when making hijrah to Madinatul Munawwarah. Because this was written in their kitab as well. So he came and he waited here. So now when the time came to see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, oh Abu Bakr, you are blocking me. You don't want me to come out. That is why I bit you. And then he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But so much of love he had for Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is mentioned that this story, when it became famous, that Nabi Alayhi Salaam traveled in a portion of the night. Obviously the Kufar rejected it. When Nabi Alayhi Salaam wrote letters to all the various kings, he wrote to Heraclius, he wrote to Najashi, he wrote to all the kings. So when the letter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his dawat, reached Heraclius, he was of Rome, but at that time he was in Sham. So when the letter reached him, then he called, he said, is there anyone that is here from Makkah al-Mukarramah? Abu Sufyan was there. He was not a Muslim at that time. He said, bring Abu Sufyan. And then he made him stand, Abu Sufyan. And he made the people stand behind Abu Sufyan. And he said, I'm going to question you. You must answer. And he told the people that if he lies, you must indicate to me that he is lying. So Abu Sufyan, he was not a Muslim. Later on he accepted Islam. So he thought, there's a good opportunity now for me to say something against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what he told Heraclius, he said, you know what this man claims? He claims that in a portion of the night he travels from Makkah to Mukarramah and he went to Baytul Muqaddas. And from there he went up the seven heavens and he met Allah Ta'ala and he returned to Makkah to Mukarramah. So one man was sitting by Heraclius. I think his name was Ilya. What he said? He said, I know that night. Heraclius asked him, how you know? How do you know that night? So he says that I was in charge of closing the doors of Baytul Muqaddas. But he says on one particular night, when we tried to close the doors of Baytul Muqaddas, we couldn't close one door. So he says, I call the carpenters to come and have a look at it. He says, but they also failed. We couldn't close the door. It was perhaps because of the weight of the building. Allah Ta'ala's system. Allah Ta'ala's system is beyond our comprehension and beyond our logic how Allah Ta'ala works. So he says that, we said, alright, leave it now, we'll just attend to it in the morning. And we left it and went away. He says, when I came in the morning to the masjid, I found that there were some droppings of an animal, the buraq, was tied outside the masjid. So he says, we found some droppings of the animal. So he says, that's when I realized that Allah Ta'ala kept this door open for some Nabi of his. So Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Baytul Muqaddas and he performed his salah. So see how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had called Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he wanted to gift him this salah. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he had such an elevated position, such an elevated position. that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he told Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "Oh Abu Bakr, that one night that you spent with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave of Thawr, that one night," he says, "my whole life's ibadat I'll give it to you. Give me that one night." That's how valuable that one night was with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So nevertheless, we are explaining that how Allah Ta'ala had called Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give him salah. So from here we understand how great is that salah that we have. A person, he wants to reach the government, he reached the president, whoever it might be. So much of channels he has to go through, so much of red tape. And then too, there's no guarantee he will reach there. But for Allah Ta'ala, a person just Allahu Akbar, finish. He's in direct communication with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So therefore, we need to ensure that everything is done correctly as required in Sharia for our salah to be valid and acceptable in the court of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We have to start from our istinja. Our istinja has to be in order. If istinja is not in order, your wudu is not going to be in order, your salah is not going to be in order. So how will a person reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So you have to start with our istinja. The istinja has to be in order. That has to be done in according to sunnah. For example, we're going to a toilet, do it according to sunnah. We have to do it. But if we do it according to sunnah, the reward is so much more greater. Read the dua when we go into the toilet. A person, he goes with his shoes. Generally, here we go with shoes. But sometimes it happens. The house, the person got an ensuite, now he just goes in without the shoes. So the toilet is a place a person must go in with his shoes. The head must be covered. When a person is removing his clothing, then he comes a little bit down. And then he removes his clothing. Not when he's standing, when he comes a little, lowers himself a little bit, now a person, he removes his clothing. Then when a person is finished, a person doesn't just quickly just pour water and walk out. No, a person, he has to now take a little bit of time, cough a little bit. So if there's some urine drops that are remaining, the urine drops come out. Or a person must press the stomach a little bit, that if there's any urine drops, then these urine drops can come out. And many, many people today, they complain of this, urine drops. Many people, yes, some people, they have thoughts. It's just the mind, the thoughts that trouble a person. No, there is some urine drop. No, we're not talking of thoughts. That is from shaitan. Here we're talking of genuine. When there are urine drops that are there, a person should be careful of this. And one of the reasons why many people suffer from thoughts is that it comes in the kitab of hadith that a person that urinates in the place of ghusl, where a person takes his ghusl, a person urinates over there. This causes waswasa in the mind. Normally the place of ghusl, today we have very good drainage system. So some muftis have given the concession, they say that if a person does urinate, because it goes away immediately, so they say that there is a little bit of concession, it wouldn't be impermissible. But then too, the place of urinating and the place of ghusl, these are two separate places. A person shouldn't urinate here. He should urinate there. And normally a person is said that when water is going to come onto the body, then he has that urge, that desire comes now to urinate. A person gets into the swimming pool. So the desire comes now for a person to urinate. But those are not places where a person should urinate. A person must urinate in the toilet. Then a person, we mentioned that a person should read the dua. Now what is the meaning of this dua that we are reciting? So here a person makes dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'is. That, Allah, I seek protection in you from the male and the female shayateen. Now why is it that we read this dua? That we're making dua to Allah Ta'ala, seeking protection from the male and the female shayateen. Because the toilet is a markaz of shaitan. This is the place of shaitan. And shaitan generally causes harm to a person. Some riwayat comes that when a person, he enters the toilet and he removes his clothing, then at that time shaitan comes and plays with the private part of a person. So here we're taking the protection of Allah Ta'ala. Allah, these male and female shayateen that are here, we seek your protection from them. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will now protect us from the shayateen. Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala, he went to the toilet to relieve himself. And later on, they found Hazrat Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala, they found him dead. So they were wondering, how did this man pass away? So they heard a voice, the announcement, the jinnat, they made an announcement. What they said? نَحْنُ قَتَلْنَا سَيِّدَ الْخَزْرَجْ سَعْدِ بْنِ عُبَادَةٍ رَمَيْنَاهُ بِسَهْمَيْنِ فَلَمْ نَخُطُّ فُعَادَ. That we killed the leader. He was the leader of the Khazraj that was in Madinah al-Munawwara. The Khazraj tribe of Madinah Munawwara, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu was the leader of them. So they said that نَحْنُ قَتَلْنَا سَيِّدَ الْخَزْرَجِ. We killed the leader of the Khazraj, Sa'd ibn Ubadah. رَمَيْنَاهُ بِسَهْمَيْنِ. We hit him with two arrows. رَمَيْنَاهُ بِسَهْمَيْنِ. Two arrows we struck. Asar bin Ubadah, فَلَمْ نَخُطُّ فُعَادَ. We do not even miss his heart. We hit him head on, we kill him. So the shayateen, the jinnat are there. We taking protection in these du'as is protection. We taking protection from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when we enter into this toilet. Now the question comes that when should this du'a be recited? So this du'a should be recited before we enter in the toilet. If a person is at home, he's going into the toilet, or here we're going into the toilet at the masjid, then before we enter the toilet, now we read the du'a, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith, and then a person, he enters the toilet. And not when a person is in the toilet. In the toilet, we don't take the name of Allah Ta'ala. Before we enter the toilet, a person, he takes the name of Allah. And if one is out in the jungle, sometimes a person is out in the jungle somewhere, there's a need, he has to relieve himself. So when do you read your du'a at that stage? So there, before you take down your clothing, a person, he reads his du'a before he takes down his clothing. Gee, these du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there's great wisdom behind these du'as of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is actually the sign of nubuwat. That how could a man think of such du'as? This has come from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that this is a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Our Hazrat explains, he said the toilet is that jail for which there is no bail. Normally a person, he goes to jail, you pay bail and they set you free till the court case. But he said the toilet is that jail for which there is no bail. If a person wants to go toilet, he say, I'll pay 1,000 rand, so now I don't have to go to the toilet. No, not possible. He has to go and relieve himself. Even if the student, he is going to the toilet and the ustad has to, the most senior ustad has to see him. The most senior ustad wants to talk to him. What he'll say, no, I'm coming now, I need to go to the toilet. Why? Because he has to go to the toilet. It's a need that he has. If he doesn't go, he's going to be harmed. So this is a jail for which there is no bail. Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi in Dioban, they used to read Salah in the courtyard. So when it's hot, extremely hot, then the courtyard, it used to get very hot. Especially India, it's very hot, 40 degrees, 45, 50 degrees in summer. So outside in the courtyard, the floor, there's no carpet there. So it will get extremely hot. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah was a senior ustad. He used to teach, speak kitabs. And he had his shawl. And then he was performing his Salah. So one student came there and he was performing Salah next to Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Now he is a student and Hazrat Mufti Sahib is a ustad. But it was so hot, he couldn't bear the heat. So he pulled that shawl from under the Mufti Sahib and he stood on top of that shawl. So like that toilet also. A person, he's got no option. Whichever ustad calls, whatever happens, he has to go toilet, a person goes to toilet. So this is that in the toilet in Gujarati, what we say? We say jajuru. In Gujarati, the word used for toilet is jajuru. So he explains, he says, what is Jaj? Jaj means King George. King George. And Ru means face. The face. So any person that goes to the toilet and he relieves himself, when he comes out, he is so satisfied that now he is relieved. So much of ease he is at now. When a person got a strong urge, how difficult it is. And when he comes out, he is relieved. Your face, as it says, your face is like King George. You're smiling like King George now. How much of happiness you got. So, this is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. This ability that a person can go relieve himself, this is a great ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There was one king, the king, he had a problem. He couldn't go toilet. So he went everywhere, trying to get medication, trying to get ilaj for this illness. But nobody could give him the ilaj, nobody could give him the treatment for it. So then somebody told him, there's one poor person, he lives down the road, you know, poor pious person, buzruk person, just lives there on the street. Let's ask him. So they went to him, they asked him. He said, yeah, I got the ilaj, but you have to pay. It will come at a price. So, but before he said, it will come at a price, so they said, the king wants to see you, he wants treatment. So you say, the king wants treatment, why must I go to the king? He must come here if he wants treatment. I'm not going to go there. So they went to the king. They said that, he says that you must come there. But if you want, O king, we will drag him and bring him here. King said, no, leave him. Let's go there. We need the treatment. So the king went there. So asked the king, what's wrong? He says, no, I can't go toilet. I want to go toilet. So he said, all right, I got the treatment. But it will come at a price. They say, what's the price? He says, half your kingdom. 50% of your kingdom you give me. Then I will give you the treatment. You'll be able to relieve yourself. So he was desperate. He said, right, 50%. I'll give it to you. Now he gave him. He gave him 50% of his kingdom. Now when he went back, he is now urinating, but continuous, non-stop. So now they came back now, he says, treatment didn't work. He says, why? He says, that now it's continuous. He said, you said you want to urinate, so So I gave you the treatment for urinating. Now you're urinating. Now what's the problem? He said, no, not like this. Like before. You know, urinate. Then you stop. After 4 or 5 hours, maybe 3 or 4 hours, then you go again. Normal. So he said, no, but then if you want that, then you have to pay a price for that also. So he said, what's the price? He said, the other half of the kingdom. He says, fine, I'll give the other half. So now he gave it. Nothing is his. Now the king realized that I own nothing. So this pious person, this buzruk that was there, this lying in the street, he just wanted to teach him a lesson. That this kingdom of yours is worth nothing. You gave your whole kingdom just so that you're able to urinate to relieve yourself properly. This ni'mat of Allah we enjoy day in and day out. Every day we enjoy this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But do we make shukr for this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala? An-ni'matu iza fuqidat urifat. The ni'mat when it is lost. The ni'mat when it is gone. Then it is recognized. That is why one dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. I seek protection in you Allah. That the ni'mat that you have given me, these ni'mat be taken away. The health that I got, the wealth that I got, the clothing that I got, the family that I got, the car that I'm driving, the fuel in the car that I got. I can see, I can walk, I can eat, I can drink. Oh Allah, I seek protection every ni'mat. That oh Allah, that you take this ni'mat away from me. Allah Ta'ala can take it away within seconds. Within seconds. All the businesses were running. Aeroplanes were flying. Trains were running. Everything was open. All ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Within 1 second, Allah Ta'ala can take all these ni'mat away. This is the qudr, that's the power of Allah Ta'ala. So, this also is a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. One buzruk, it is mentioned about him, that when he became old, he had the urine bag. Many people when become old, now they're carrying the bag with them. So, they said, what's wrong? Why are you carrying this bag? Cataract. And so, he said, why are you carrying this bag? So, he says, I never make shukr. When I could go toilet properly, I never make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. That was his tawazu, his humbleness. He said it out of humbleness. But he said, I never make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So this ni'mat today Allah Ta'ala has taken away from. This is a great ni'mat. So tomorrow inshallah we'll continue. Or Monday inshallah. Monday we'll continue. That when a person, he leaves the toilet, we're making shukr. We're making alhamdulillah. We're making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And the various other aspects related to it, inshallah we'll continue on Monday. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah.